The premises on Bishop Street,
yeah.
That implied up to three?
Three and a half thousand at one stage.
And the Quaker ethos, was that very prominent in the factory?
Oh, yes, indeed. I mean, they had a company doctor, company dentist. They had things that currently fashionable sneer at, like sewing classes, woodwork classes. General there was a schoolmaster employed to teach people, because half of them couldn't read or write. And yes, it was, of course. And they had a huge, big recreation area, a football field, things which were not normal in, normally supplied by employers, were supplied by them. Very similar to Quakers. They owned houses which were let as tenements for people who worked for them. Not to the same extent as Quaker or Bourneville. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a magnificent village. And yes, very much so.
So the well-being of the employee was as important as
absolutely
anything.
Yes, I suspect it wasn't 100% altruism, that if somebody is properly fed and a bit of education, they're a better employee than if they're starving and no education. So it might, but I think the incentive for doing it was not selfish. The incentive for doing it was for the betterment of the employees. And you know, all the directors of the company, or who all owned a slice of it, they didn't sell their shares and go and live in the West Indies or buy yachts and go and sail off around the world or something. They just continued going to work 5 days a week.
Yeah.
My grandfather, he was wealthy enough, and he lived in Sanford Hill in what's now Gonzaga, and he had a car, but he went to work on his bike. He was only just down the road on his bike, and he went to work on his bike.
Did you know him very well?
He died. No, he died before I was born. I only had one grandmother. My maternal grandmother was alive when I was born. All my other grandchildren, my grandfather's parents were dead.
Yeah. And so apart from your father being involved with Jacob's Biscuits, did he have other interests outside of Jacob's?
Well, I mean, not really.
In other
businesses? Ah, yes, he did. He was a director of the Royal Bank, which then became AIB, director of AIB. I don't think he'd think much of the current behaviour of the directors of AIB, but he was a director of that, and he was on various voluntary boards. He did a lot of voluntary work on the Adelaide Hospital as chairman of that. He was on the Rotunda Hospital as chairman of that. He was in Bloomfield, the mental hospital. It wasn't Donnybrook, no, up in Scholarstown Road. He was in many things, but he didn't talk about them much. And as a child, you know, he just came home late one evening and you didn't really inquire too much where he was. He was on one of these committees or other. So he did a lot more than we realised at the time, than I realised at the time.
And your mother's maiden name?
Boyd.
And where did she come
from? She lived in Black Rock. She lived about half a mile from here, around the corner.
And was she also part of the Quaker tradition?
She wasn't. Funnily enough, she was a Plymouth Brethren, which in those days was quite strong. I think it's more or less faded out now. And I'm not certain of the disciplines that they follow or anything at all. But although we were all Quakers, my two sisters and myself, we actually attended Church of Ireland Church all the time. And I never followed this up, but I think probably, I'm guessing, that my father said he was not going to go to a Plymouth Brethren service, and she said, "Well, you know, if you're not coming to my sir, I'm not going to a Quaker once they were in the Church of Ireland as a compromise." I suspect, I don't know, but no, they were. We were, even though we were nominally Quakers. Oh, interestingly enough, my sisters were both registered as a Quaker, and I thought I was, and I went to a Quaker school, and I like to think I think like a Quaker. But when my father died, I found a booklet which lists all the names of the Quakers in Ireland, and in this book, after my name is an asterisk. And I looked to see what that meant. And that's it, residing in a house of a friend. So, oh, that's funny. So I made a few inquiries. I find they never registered me as a Quaker at all. And they never did anything formal about my religion at all. And so, in effect, I was never baptised as anything else. And I was never registered as a Quaker. We go to Church of Ireland, and we always did as children, and we still, Jones Church of Ireland, and we still do go to Church of Ireland. I like to think I think like a Quaker, but actually, in fact, I never was written down as anything at all. But unfortunately, I didn't find all this out until after my mother died. Mm. And so I never, was it an oversight? Was it the war? What was it? I don't know.
Yes, indeed. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah.
And did your father practice? Was he, you say that he was quite a wealthy man. He could have retired if he wanted to.
Oh, yes, he would.
Did he keep working?
He retired nominally. He was chairman, and then he continued as chairman right after, long after his 65th birthday. But he handed all his executive role over to other people. But he liked to come in, and he would be in. He was at work 3 days before he died. He died of a heart attack very suddenly. And he was at work 3 days before he died. And he would just walk around and talk to people, and people would talk to him. He enjoyed, at that stage we were in Tallaght, of course, and he enjoyed meeting the people whom we'd been with for the last 50 years and talking to them and so forth. Yeah, he would never have stopped and gone away. No, that would be considered very unfashionable and not allowed to be done. But it worked in those days.